The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
The club, club 1080.
Come on, you dumbass. Eat me. I pitch tents in the trees.
Okay.
How do you find a male hooker?
What's your point?
I'm going to give it to you.
Give it to me.
And I will pull it out for you here.
So simple, it just might work.
They've got a nut in their mouth, and it's really cute.
Good but dirty. But that's okay because it leads into porn talk, which is coming up.
It's not the first time and it won't be the last.
But before we get to that, our very own...
Finally but not last.
1080 the Fan, 1080 the Fan old man Jason Swigard is at it again.
He's at it again. And I think that he's been bolstered by his like 11 and a half minute mile walk, which I still question whether or not that was legitimate, but whatever.
I mean, they did it right outside, and they timed it, right?
Yeah, what was his claim that he was going to run or walk?
He was going to walk a sub-12-minute mile.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you're not doing that.
Well, he did.
But he did. Again, I question.
Questioning it because you didn't believe him in the first place.
I called that. I said he'd do it, and he did.
I questioned the distance, but
whatever.
Have
you seen him speed walk?
Yeah, he's good. He's a pro.
Seems like the sort of thing that Swag would do.
He's got the right shoes.
Is speed walk.
Like the old, the New Balance. And he moves his arms, and he wiggles his arms real well.
So he did.
That's how you do it.
He did it, though. Hat off to you. You did it, probably.
He learned from Herm Edwards to wiggle his hips.
It's not probably. Give him credit. He did it.
He did it. So we were leaving a meeting today. We had a big powwow with the boss, which doesn't happen very often. And I went back to the desk and I turned on
By the way, did you notice how old he's getting?
The boss?
Yeah.
He's got readers now.
Yeah, he's got the bifocal things.
Yeah. They're not like prescription. I think they're just like magnifying glasses that he uses for reading.
It makes him look so old.
It's getting there.
He's
been around a long time. We love you, Jeff. So we leave that, and I went back to the desk to do our award-winning show prep, and I turned on Dirt and Sprague. I was streaming it at the computer, and I caught the tail end of something. And I was like, I didn't hear that correct. Like, that can't be. They were talking about, because they, I know Dirt and Sprague, maybe Swag does too, they all endorse Crunch, right? Crunch Fitness. And Dirt goes, I'm calling my trainer and about this squat challenge. And then I heard them threw out 300 pounds. And I instantly went, dude, Sprague or Dirt, whichever one is going to blow something out. I was like, they're going to squat 300 pounds. And then I thought I heard that Swag was the one that was going to do it. And I'm like, no effing way. So I went over and I asked after the show was over, I said, guys, who's doing the squat challenge? And they're like, Swag. And I'm like, holy crap. Not only that, but Swag self-admittedly has never lifted weights in his life. Not when he was younger, not now, at no point in between. And he's like, what, 48 years old? Swag believes, not training for it, Swag believes that he can show up at a gym, put 300 pounds on the bar, and squat it.
That's a lower back injury waiting to happen.
Yeah, he's going to get hurt.
He is going to get hurt so very badly.
Just the basic squat form. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to use your back.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if it's 300 pounds and your legs aren't strong enough, then you're definitely going to use your back.
Dirt and Sprague, who do That's work really, out and, really, and Sprague's really in good shape, like both of them were like, I wouldn't even attempt that. They're like, oh, hell no. But Swag, and they work out. Swag, who's never lifted a weight in his life, he's just like, yeah, I got this. 300 pounds? He has no
clue. There's no way.
He has no clue what's waiting for him when he puts that on his back. The first time he puts that on his shoulders and he steps out, he may just crumple.
Is he doing an overhead squat? No, like a back.
It sits on. You get underneath the bar, and it will sit across like your traps.
So the back squat.
Yes, the back squat.
At least in that instance, he will have an opportunity before leaving the bars
to understand how heavy it is.
Stand up and try to feel it.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, I would hope that he would say, "Hell no." Put it back down,
well, you know,
walk
guys,
away forever.
Here's a text to the Better Each Day text line at 55305 that says, you know, I bet Swag can do it. He has the back and leg strength. He's been carrying the fan for years. Good point.
He's also the guy that suffered from hemorrhoids to the point he had to have an operation. He's going to blow out an O-ring doing this.
Somebody else reminded us that he believes that he can swim the Willamette, too.
Yeah, he thinks he can swim across.
Yeah, which he may be able to. He may be able to. I'd like to see him try that.
He does.
With a safety boat, of course.
Swag, who doesn't work out, he doesn't run, he doesn't exercise, he doesn't lift weights. Swag seems to think that he is the $6 million man. Like, I'm not certain what he thinks, like, where this comes from, but he has a belief in his physical abilities he's a 48-year-old out of shape man that doesn't work out, and yet he thinks he can conquer swimming across a river. And if you've never worked out before, I honestly just don't like. So we asked, and he said he's never squatted. He's never once did it, not in high school. You cannot. He will have no idea what it feels like to have that weight across his back. He may take a step off the rack and immediately just fall.
I would like to submit to the court that he should not be allowed to try that. Seriously.
I'm worried.
He really should not be allowed. No, that's not okay. I was looking at not 300 pounds anyway. I was looking at I'm on physicallliving.com.
Yeah, him to start with the bar first.
I read every day.
Yes.
And on there, they have squat standards, and they list out, and it's pretty nuanced, but generally for the barbell back squat exercise,
that's what this is.
They're saying a newbie or beginner even should be able to squat 75 to 80% of their body weight.
So Swag weighs what, 190 pounds, 180 pounds?
Sure, I don't know, but...
And never having done this, and at 48 years old, is going to go right to 300 pounds.
Yeah, so then it says newbie. Newbie is before beginner. Newbie, 65 pounds.
So that's the bar.
Plus a 10 on each side.
And a 10 on each side.
And he wants...
10 and a 2.5.
He wants to do 300. For 300, in other words, what he wants to do... is in by their standards on this website, what he wants to do is expert squatter.
So never having
which
done
is
it.
Your body weight plus basically another 100% of your body weight. So it's two of you, and that's expert. And then master is 2.1 to 2.35 times your body weight, master. And he's going straight to it. That's what he's...
No,
and
look,
I'm serious.
Look,
like I
he
thought
should,
this,
he should not try
no,
this.
No, I at first thought like when I heard this, I like kind of chuckled, and then I had that thought. I went over and was like, "Don't do this." I'm like, "This is not going to end well." And my thing is like, he's got to warm up, right? So at what point during the warm up is he? Because he can't just... Oh God, I hope he doesn't just put 300 pounds on. And is like, let's do this. I, at what point, 100 pounds? I had a
his
friend...
His warm-up's like a five-minute jog on the treadmill. All right, I'm good. Let's go.
I have a buddy of mine, a Dr. Bess, this doctor to the stars. He just started working out, and he's like, "Hey, can I come work out with you?" And he had never squatted before, and we started out with him, and I think we had the bar plus a 25 on each side.
Squatting is scary because of the back implications.
And he was like, "Shoot." I'm like, "Nope, we're staying right there." So that would have been, what, 95 pounds? That's what we started with. And we're like, dude, just be comfortable with that, and we'll figure it out. Not Swag. And by the way, he had been working out leading up to this. Not Swag.
All right, so
right to the deep end.
We all agree. Somebody passed this segment on to him, and hopefully he doesn't get hurt. Another text to the Better You Today text line says, Swag's the TV sports viewer who thinks he can play in all four leagues and each Olympic event, but is humble enough to admit he can't quite win gold.
He'd get a bronze, right? Compete for the silver.
That's so true.
There's part of me that wants to see this, but part of me that's saying, please someone for like his sake and his children and his wife.
Yeah.
Don't let this happen.
To me, this is Yusuf Nurkic video. No, I don't want to watch that.
Someone said that they were listening and they said that Swag did say that he would need some pointers and that he has seen it done before.
Oh.
Okay. You saw someone once at a gym that was squatting.
And there's a difference between receiving pointers and like practicing said pointers.
I told him he can borrow my weight belt if he wants. Go ahead and get that thing as tight as humanly possible because you're going to need it when your spine explodes.
You know what? I bet he does it, and I bet he does it in Plum Smugglers, a sweater, and shades, and then drops it and flips you off.
Then makes himself a martini.
That's right. No, he likes Manhattans.
Manhattans, right.
Does it while smoking a cigarette and a cocktail in his hand. He just got the one hand on the
He's
bar.
He's a freak, man. Swag's a freak.
I just couldn't believe how... Right. The mile is one thing, but how delusional can one middle-aged man be?
That leads into an interesting topic, which is not going to be next, but I want to tease it.
Yeah.
Because I came across a bit where... Do you know who Mark Leishman is?
Yeah.
The pro golfer?
Yes.
He was asked... Somebody asked him at his press conference for this latest tournament. All they asked on the Q&A was... Do you know what you don't know? And he was thoroughly confused by it. He's like, what?
The lady who asked it was like a foreign reporter.
Yeah.
So I don't think she spoke English very well. We have the audio.
Yeah, we'll get to it. This is going to be another time. But she said, do you know what you don't know? And he was kind of confused by it. And then he finally said, well, no. And this is a subject. What Swag is displaying here is a subject that hurts humans more than anything in the world. And that is, we do not know our own ignorance. We don't know what we don't know. And it gets us in trouble so, so, so incredibly often.
Like getting under something that's going to crush you.
Well, that or just like, just sure, we don't know how, like when we all have great, we all have opinions that make total sense in our head.
Yeah.
And too many people fail to realize that just because that makes sense to you, doesn't mean it's not ridiculously wrong, right? Like, that's the whole idea. You don't know what you don't know. So there's a really good piece on that we need to dive into.
I'd like to do that.
And we need to do it in the club, and we need to do it this week.
Especially if you've never done it. Like, I'm not a good... You're a good golfer. I am not, right? If I break 90, I'm very happy. But having played golf before, I am well aware of what shooting, let's say, 80. Like, if I shot an 80, I would be over the moon about that, right? Never done it before. But if I had never played golf before, I wouldn't have an idea of how challenging that is. And so I think...
I'm that example. I've never played golf before.
So it's... This
so
is
I don't know what would be good or bad for me if I were to play.
So I'm not sure who's more ignorant. The person that has done something and then is just convinced... Like that they can go play in the NBA, the rec league basketball player, or the guy that has never attempted something, see Swag never having lifted weights, and has no concept of it. Because I think both of those are equally dangerous, but they're two forms of being ignorant. And I'm not sure which one's worse.
Yeah. So it's like when you're not good at something, we don't know enough to accurately assess our abilities.
Yeah.
Right? Like... So you know you're not going to be good at golf, but you also don't know enough about golf to know that, right? Like to know how bad you are. So inexperience casts the illusion of expertise. That's what this article talks about. It's fascinating. We can all utilize it, all of us, because we're all human beings. We all have these tendencies, but we will not do that until we get to porn talk.
Yeah, we got
this is a top billing story for the day, and it's this Mia Khalifa gal who is claiming that she only made $12,000 in porn, and everybody's freaking out about it. And the reason they're freaking out about it is because it's another one of my pet peeves. You know I hate this.
Misleading
headline. That is so not what happened with her, and we'll get to it next on The Fan. All right, porn talk. Now, Mia Khalifa is often described as the world's most popular porn star. Okay? Now, she grew up in Lebanon.
Okay.
And they moved, I don't know what year her and her family moved to the U.S.
She
but
really was like the most popular?
They call it that because she, her videos on Pornhub are some of the most viewed.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so her name is Mia Khalifa. And she recently went on a podcast, and it made headlines that she said she's only made $12,000 from working in porn. Now, that seems shocking because
she claims is the world's most famous porn star.
Everybody knows her.
You would think there's a lot of money.
It's like, yeah, she's got to be raking it in, right? So everybody, so the headlines would lead you to believe that, oh my gosh, she's being exploited and she's only made $12,000 and, you know, she should have so much more for her popularity, and this, and it explodes into this big issue, right? It trends on social media and everything. Well, if you look closer at this story, that is just not even remotely how to frame her life. She is a social media star.
Yes. I see her on there. It's like on Twitter and Instagram. She like does sports commentary and I don't know. I see her pop up a lot, but not in porn. I mean,
she's in porn. She's done porn. But here's the crux of it is this. Mia Khalifa did porn for 3 months.
And in those 3 months, how many movies were made?
She shot video. No, not movies. Well, it's videos.
Okay.
And she shot a bunch of them that still live on the internet. And for her work, she made $12,000 in 3 months.
Now, I'm looking here, and if this is correct, she made six...
Scenes,
videos, whatever. Six.
Yeah. And so... She then she quit and she moved on to other things. Like, she's got nude stuff all over the place.
Sure.
But she's basically her own brand. She only did porn for three true videos that were posted online for 3 months. And so $12,000 is actually, you know, pretty fair.
For six movies, so.
Especially because that was her beginning of her career. She wasn't like an established person.
Right.
Right?
So, yeah. So what they're saying is, the porn industry, you know what's killed the porn industry? And it hasn't killed it in a sense that people aren't viewing it. Of course people are viewing it.
It's all free, right?
We're all pervs.
Who pays for porn?
The internet and pirating has killed porn. Because it used to be, you know, Jenna Jameson would show up to a set and make a bunch of money for that film or whatever. And then whoever made that film and the stars of that film would get the residuals.
Yeah.
Right? You'd have to go buy the film or you'd have to rent the film, right? And
and
you would get the royalties from that every time. Even today, if there's a video store and that porn is ripped off the shelf and some perv wants to go watch it, you know, they get money.
Sure. Now, it blows me away that they make any money, because I don't know who pays for porn. Like, who hasn't heard of
the
internet?
So her videos are still online, but she doesn't own them.
Okay.
She made $12,000 off of them, but they're there to stay. Like, you can go see them.
Sure.
Or the website that does own them charges
can put them out there.
But she doesn't own those. So the mistake here is saying that, oh my God, women in that industry were so exploited, which I'm sure that happened happened quite often, but also she's raking it in other ways, because she's like a new age sort of porn star. Like, you think just because someone's naked on the internet means they're a porn star. Well, she really wasn't. She was a porn star for a few videos. She tried that.
Well, I feel like
she's branched into other elements now. It's dirty and she's naked, but it's not like,
yeah,
she's not on video.
She's doing nude modeling or like webcam stuff for individuals.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
And that's what the new porn is. So when you get, so these girls now, or guys or whomever, can create their own websites, and they charge you a certain amount of money to sort of watch them do what they do.
I wonder if I should get one of those going.
So they pay you directly, and no one would pay you.
Who wants to see me gear down, do some remedial squat thrusts for you, get a good sweat on.
So the new porn is
maybe a good head shave after a shower, fully naked.
Put some music to it.
course, you know, it would be like the scene from... I was thinking more Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
doing that Buffalo Bill kind of dance.
Oh, wait.
You're like, this really bothers you. You're what? Offended at this headline. The no. $12,000.
Oh, I just don't like, yeah. I don't like misleading headlines. I was just trying to explain it. What bothers me is when you always bring up the Silence of the Lambs dance that you did for Gary Croton.
That's true.
I just think it's weird.
Why? Because you can't get it out of your head?
It gives you a visual.
You'd be my first subscriber, wouldn't you? You'd watch it, you filthy bastard.
How much you charge?
You'd pay for the premium package, too.
A premium plus. What do I get with premium plus?
Not only do you HD? Get to watch unlimited HD videos.
You get the view from behind.
You also get his bathwater after.
Other views.
Why? We were talking about that story about the nude lady, the video game lady that was selling her bathwater.
The Instagram person.
I'm fascinated by that, but it's like the Mike was explaining that it's like the personal connection. I was like, why would anyone pay like $40 a month to see nude pictures of her when we were doing that story, if you just Google her, free nude pictures pop up of her. But it's like, it's the personal connection. Like you get to like chat with them and like, it's a weird, it's like some sort of weird relationship thing that you've got going on. And I guess people pay big.
A lot of people are very lonely.
Yeah. People pay big money for that.
So
who, someone's going to say they'll pay me not to do porn.
Right.
There's my thing. Hey, you don't want to see this.
Yeah, I'm going to get naked or else.
Kick in some
you
money.
You pay
here.
Me money or yeah. I'm going to get naked.
Yeah. I got to pay back that bathroom remodel that I got ripped off on. I got 10 G's I got to make. Let's do this. I'm going to put out nude content unless I start getting paid.
So those two things are not separate. Like the old porn and this is kind of the new porn. It's all the porn industry. So technically you could say she's a porn star. But I think what they were trying to frame it as she's been a porn star this whole time and only made $12,000.
Yeah.
Right? Like she's in that industry.
Like they're saying her net worth is like $2 million.
Yeah, she's got plenty of money. She's a personality that has created her own space where you guys can go follow. You pay her directly and she'll give you her whatever content.
Whatever the content that
That's
is, right?
So
I got an idea what that content is.
So when they make these videos or movies, they get paid, but they don't get paid every time they're viewed or posted.
This site says about $4 million that she's worth.
Yeah, she's doing great.
Yeah,
she's made a ton, and she's really done it all on her own. The porn thing, like making actual porn videos,
that's fascinating. They're saying
it's just a side thing.
They're saying so. I found this site, wealthygorilla.com, and
am I on there?
Sounds legitimate.
Yeah. What's on there just talks about people and, you know, salaries of celebrities and whatnot and kind of talks about it. And they said, found an article on her, and it says that even though she only made a handful of videos, that to this day she is the most searched adult performer on the internet. Dude, that's insane.
I think, if I remember this correctly, she did a scene where she was wearing like a hijab, however you pronounce it, the Middle Eastern religious garb. And it
became a thing.
It became a huge thing. Yeah.
She's very good at getting in the headlines.
For obviously both reasons.
She's smart. Like she's the first big name that's really capitalized on this, on the internet side of.
She did it.
For herself.
Got
on
out
the
of
internet
it,
side.
And now has made a ton of money without having to. There was a quote in here where she said when she got really famous, she signed a big deal with one of the porn companies to do a bunch of movies. And she didn't want to do it. She did it because she needed money. And then she realized that she didn't have to do it. She could make the money without doing it. And so she got out, which, you know what? Good for her for being smart.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a bigger discussion about, you know, how much she really wants to do any of this. But it's just a thing she does now and that whole thing and the shame of it and all that. But just like it used to be like Jenna Jameson, I bring her up because she's like probably the most famous.
She's the one like when I was
star.
Growing up, like everyone, like she was
right.
The bee's knees.
So this gal is the new Jenna Jameson. She's just in the new era of how people, how the porn star, how the star makes the money off of
what no one buys movies anymore. You got to find a different way to evolve or die, right? Got to find a new way to make the dough.
This whole story, see, she's smart because this whole story came out because all she was doing was teasing a video for a podcast that she did.
Yeah.
All she was doing was, hey, go watch my 80-minute podcast.
And look at
by the way, I made $12,000 only $12,000 working in porn, and that became the headline. She knows what she's doing.
Smart
and now
girl.
Everybody's talking about her, and she knows the more people Google her, the more people go to her website,
Instagram, or whatever. And
she's good, man.
I see her interject herself into sports conversations all the time. Like, if you follow a lot of the sports people on Twitter, she gets into, like, big debates with people. I think she's out of D.C. because she's always talking about, like, the Washington Capitals. And
I think she actually worked for the ESPN sports station there for a while.
Yeah, she was a sports commentator of some kind. Well, hey, use what you got, right?
Well, if you want to, all for it.
Oh, I do. You want it. You can't stop thinking about it.
No, I really can't.
Wearing that weird little dragon robe smock thing, arms flaying in the breeze. I'd love me. I'd like to think that every now and then Gary Croton wakes up at night and has that vision in his head and he can't unsee it.
Oh, wait.
I'd like to believe that that haunts him to this day. I take great pride in that. Thanks, Coach.
A college kid finds a Triceratops skull. Next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Now at betterutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay, for our next story, we'll talk about the Mark Leishman thing tomorrow.
The not knowing what you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know, and that is a problem.
Because I'm trying to think of something that like the most delusional thing. Because I try to be fairly self-aware, but we've all got them. It's my stupid not dying in a house fire thing. Like in my mind, I'm like I'm not going out like that, and yet I. No good and damn well.
Right. It's like Swigard wanting to squat 300 pounds. But it's not delusional. It's just a blind spot.
Yeah.
And it's human nature. And it's something, if you recognize it, can be very, very helpful.
Yes. Knowing your boundaries is not like everyone does you got to believe in yourself and no dream is too big. Not so certain about that, my man. You should know where the ceiling's at from time to time.
So there's a college kid in North Dakota who's big into dinosaurs, okay? And he befriends this dinosaur, this paleontologist, this guy who digs for dinosaur bones.
Sure.
His name's Michael, I don't know, Kelland or something online. He befriends him.
Yeah, Michael.
Well, you know how, he kind of became his mentor.
Okay.
This college kid. He's so into digging up dinosaur bones that he befriends this guy on social media, and this guy, Michael, this very experienced paleontologist, befriends the college kid and kind of takes him under his wing, and they go on a dig together in North Dakota. And they were 4 days into the dig, and the kid finds a Triceratops skull.
Like an intact full skull?
Yes. Well, it's not full, but it's pretty much intact.
Huh.
Yeah, 65 million years old.
How deep are they? Is he just moving like some sand, like in a playground? And is like, hey, Triceratops.
They were just, I'm sure it pisses off the longtime paleontologist. I'm sure he's pissed about it. He's like, wait, what?
Right? I mean,
you found what?
I mean, think about it. You probably spend your entire career and don't find anything that cool.
It was sitting right over here.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at that. Yeah, look at that thing.
It's a full on. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it's really largely intact.
Yeah. So he drags.
That blows my mind.
He drags some college bro along on his dig. Teach this kid a few things. And the kid's the one that finds the skull.
How about the fact that the kid's wearing a fringe leather jacket in the photo?
Well, I mean, I think that's predictable, isn't it?
If you're digging for dinosaur bones, do you have to wear a leather fringed jacket with like some sort of Indiana Jones hat?
Well, they named the dinosaur Alice
after
the owner of the land.
Okay.
Apparently, which is, I don't know.
Dude, that's crazy.
It's kind of dumb. But 65 million years old. It's not that big. Like, that's one big myth about dinosaurs, you know, that they were all just gigantic.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. Not all of them.
Well, no, but there are certainly some big ones. The skull is way bigger than this dude.
This one, Triceratops, pretty big.
Yeah.
But, you know, birds are dinosaurs. Like, it's...
Well, birds are dinosaurs.
Right.
That's the...
Dinosaurs aren't extinct.
Yeah. Look at, like, an ostrich, and you'll see a velociraptor, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah. That's what they derive from.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of myths about dinosaurs, you know.
I know. Sometimes I like to... I'm not going to say that I like to, but it's... popping someone's bubble sometimes can be a little like...
Oh, nobody loves to pop bubbles more than you.
Somewhat amusing. I went out with a I went out on a date of one of them their dating apps once with a gal who very much liked dinosaurs, and she had dinosaur tattoos.
Oh wow.
And I was like, "Oh, that's a..."
Did you break it to her?
That's a bit of a red flag right there. Really liked the dinosaurs, and she had a Velociraptor tattoo like from the Jurassic Park movies. And I was like, wow, I'm like, you really like Jurassic Park that much, huh? And I got tattoos. Hey, man, whatever floats your boat. And she goes, no, I just really like dinosaurs. And I was like, well, you know that's not real, right? And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, that's not what they looked like. I'm like, that's not how big they were. And then we got into the T-Rex. And I was like, T-Rex had feathers. And she, because she had a T-Rex tattoo like on the other leg. And she... refused to believe that, and I had to Google a photo.
Wait, so she liked dinosaurs a lot, but knew nothing about dinosaurs.
But knew nothing about them. Googled a photo of a T-Rex and was like, this is what a T-Rex looked like. And literally didn't believe me at first until she started like reading articles. And she was like, that's just a theory. And I'm like, no, most scientists now, they all believe that like T-Rex was covered in feathers. Was not happy. Was not happy with my shenanigans. Not happy with my shenanigans.
Boy, Sue, you really know how to do a first date,
yeah,
let me tell you.
You're so, you really know how to charm them.
Look, it wasn't, it wasn't going anywhere. That's a...
So you're saying if it was going somewhere, you would have been nicer about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth.
Until
not
after?
Not say a gall darn thing.
Post-coitus?
Well, like, I was kind of thrown off by that. Again, I just thought she really
laying
liked...
Laying in bed together. By the way, T-Rex has had feathers.
I just thought she...
Bye.
I just thought she really liked...
Velociraptor's smaller.
Jurassic Park. And then I found out she was really into dinosaurs, and I thought it was weird that she didn't know that about dinosaurs.
Merry Christmas,
because you would think if you really liked dinosaurs, you would know that they were birds.
Everything on your body's a lie. Goodbye.
Look up a picture of a T-Rex with feathers. It'll blow your mind.
A lot of feathers. A lot of colors, too.
Yeah.
A lot of colors.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they were just like scaly lizardy type things. There was,
no, they had feathers. Quite frankly, they don't look as cool, but I think they look scarier covered in feathers.
And they were badass, man. You know, they ruled for over 150 million years.
Yeah.
You and I? How long we... Well, not you.
Yeah, we'll screw
humans,
it
humans, what?
Well, we're just a couple. Well, we haven't ruled for that long at all, but we've only been around for a couple hundred thousand.
That's what I'm saying. And they were around for 150 million. So suck on that, humans.
I'm telling you, look at feathered T-Rex and tell me that that isn't scarier than like the Jurassic Park version of T-Rex. That one was all white, and it's again, it's like a big scary, you know, what are the what's that bird? The it was just in the news a while back. It kicked that guy to death down in Florida. Not an emu. God, a cassowary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cassowary.
It's like that, but the size of a T-Rex. Things just looking to rip you a new one.
Those things are cool, man.
Yeah.
Those T-Rexes. Man.
Yeah, dinosaurs are badass.
All right. Hot dinosaur talk. We getting John on?
We don't know.
I don't know.
I will make
an effort.
See if he goes and walks out in the water, try to get reception.
All right.
He has done that in the past.
Yeah.
If you
live down at the coast, do you just not get cell service?
If you live down there?
Yeah.
There's really bad cell service out there.
Yeah, because I mean, whenever time I go down to the coast, like, because I know where he's at, I'm assuming they usually go down to the same place.
Yeah, you probably just have to deal with it, huh?
Was that like Cape Disappointment, that area down there?
Maybe there's a provider that's really good, or not really good, but better out there, so everyone uses that.
It's just, yeah, is there one cell phone service down there that works fantastic? Because, like, my brother has Verizon, like, I had T-Mobile, someone else had AT&T, and it was all crap. Like, you couldn't get service down there unless you, like, went and stood in the water.
They don't want you to have service. That's how they keep you out.
Well, but does that, by
keep
my point
themselves.
Is, like, no one has service down there, then.
If you go to Cannon Beach and stand right next to Haystack Rock, full bars.
Full bars. Isn't it
they
great?
They had a cell phone tower inside the rock, don't you know?
When we were in Belize, we went to some, like, ruins. You know, you go to the... No, well, just ruins. Like I don't remember. It was Mayans, I think. And there was same thing. There was like no cell service. But when you climbed up on top of one of the temples, there were bars, and people were like everyone was up there so happy because they had to get the Instagram photos. that to get them out there and post things. Everyone was so happy. Like, rumors spread that, like, at the top of this climb, you could get some bars. And it just, it was hilarious to see everyone getting to the top and then immediately taking out the phone and looking. Oh, yeah! Got service. Yes! Because, you know, you're no one unless you get that real-time photo out there. You can't wait until you get back to the hotel to post that. No, you got to get on the gram now.
All right, maybe, John, maybe not. If not, we'll figure it out next on The Fan.
Oh, at betterutoday.com.
Double Sun Power!
All right, no, John, I don't see him on the line, so.
Maybe he's down at Cape Disappointment watching the Mariners, which would be the most appropriate thing ever.
Are they losing to the Tigers still?
I would assume
they
so.
They are. 3-2 in the eighth inning. Mm.
It is interesting, though, because, like, we'll go down to the coast as a family sometimes. Like, a lot of times over the 4th of July, we'll run a house and down there. And even on vacation, it pisses my brother's wife off so much. So it'll be a beautiful evening or whatever. We'll all be doing something. But 7 o'clock rolls around on vacation, house on the beach, and my brother will insist on going inside and watching the Seattle Mariners.
Do you think it's because he's truly that much of a fan or because he has nothing else to do?
But I
And doesn't like to do anything else.
Well, I wondered that. But, like, we'll be at the coast, like, all doing something. Like, well, you know, let's go do something. You're down at the coast. We'll go out to the beach, you
but
know?
But does he really like to do that?
Maybe that's what it is. So what you're saying is he has no other hobbies.
He just doesn't like to do anything, really.
He really doesn't.
Well, he's just passionate about the Mariners.
He likes to collect...
Or it's that. Or it's like he could be doing one of his favorite things in the world, and he loves it dearly. It's his big hobby, but the Mariners are on, got to go watch him. That's different, right?
Yeah.
I feel similar. Now, I will not stop doing something together with family if the Yankees are on. But even on vacation, if we, like, take a quick break in the hotel room, I'll throw the Yankee game on if it's on.
Well, the Yankees are different because the Yankees are good. See, yeah. Like, I'm a
but
good
I'm just,
example.
I'm a really big fan of the Yankees, just like
yes,
he's a really
the,
big fan
but
of the Mariners.
But the Yankees are good, so you don't understand what it's like when your team is so dreadful that you no longer really should be watching them. Like,
yes.
I mean, it's like you are super duper diehard if you're watching every single Detroit Tigers game, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm a Royals fan, so I know this dynamic well. I feel like I'm a good, strong Royals fan. However, they were so bad for so long. You just, look, I'm sorry, I have a life. I'm not going to watch that garbage. But once they, you know, they got it going again, I'm right back on board.
Yeah.
And I can do that. Right?
Sure.
The idea that you have to sit through each... You're less of a fan that because you don't sit through the crappy-ass games, that to me is...
I don't buy
is
it.
Bull crap.
Yeah.
People have lives. They... I'm the customer. You have to put a good product out there for me to want to watch it. I'm still a fan, but I'm disgusted by this product. I'm going to go walk the beach. Right?
Yeah.
It's different when you're saying, nope, I got to go watch a Mariner game when they're 20 games under 500.
Exactly.
I got to turn on the Yankee game because the Yankees are in a pennant race.
Exactly. So we can be sitting around all hanging out and we'll be like either playing, someone wants to play some board games or we'll go down on the beach, take the dogs down there. Or someone's like, hey, let's go have a, you know, we'll play like football or wiffle ball down on the beach or start a fire or whatever. And my brother will be like, can't. You know, because the Mariners who are 30 games out of first place, he's like, I can't miss it. And you're like, well, why not? Like, you're 30 games out of first place. But it is...
My philosophy is he doesn't like to do anything. It's not necessarily all about... He's a big Mariner fan. I'm not saying he's not.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily all about watching the Mariners play. Because when they're this bad, come
on.
Yeah,
there's no reason.
Come on.
I don't know. I think it's just he's that much of a fan. I mean, he watches them every single night.
Every single night.
Even though they're bad. So
again,
to me, that proves
I've seen him.
No, it doesn't.
He's that much of a fan.
It doesn't prove. It proves that he doesn't like to do anything else.
I've seen him come over to like my house for like a birthday sort of function. And every single person will be outside like on the deck or whatever. And John will disappear and be like, where's John? You're like, oh, God, Mariners. And he just goes inside and he doesn't care. It's all like on vacation to me. Sports is weird. Like if you're in Hawaii and you're with your family, you don't think that's weird that you flip on a Yankee game or flip on a Mariner game.
I usually miss sports when I'm on vacation.
Yes.
Now, I remember being in a hotel in Mexico for a wedding, and Kansas played Missouri in football, and that was the when they were one versus two. We had to find that game.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a big deal for us.
But, like, watching that now, Kansas? Like, it's
No chance. Like, I don't even know who they're playing. Yeah, so
South
that's
Dakota
that's,
State. The that's Jack the Rabbits.
Whole. That's the whole point about it being a good team versus a bad team. That changes everything.
And the thing is, John wasn't like this. I need to do a deeper dive into this because, well, obviously I grew up with him. He's my older brother. He was not like this ever. We grew up as Mets fans. John morphed into a Mariner fan somewhere in between college and adulthood. John morphed into a Mariner fan, but our whole life up until he was probably 23, 24, he was a Mets guy. Flipped over to the Mariners, and he's 45 now. I'm going to say the obsessive Mariner fan didn't start until probably 30.
Okay, this
maybe 32.
This is more evidence in my favor. Because we're talking about a man who has never been out of the United States and has once. Because he went on the cruise. But
yeah, that someone else
until
paid for
he
it.
Was 45 years old, never been out of the United States, which I understand it's expensive to travel, but has no desire to leave the United States, right?
No.
And has his steaks well done and only eats like kid food, cheeseburgers and chicken fingers, right?
Yes.
He's not exactly like the most,
he's not the most interesting man in the world.
He doesn't have the most zest for life.
Yeah.
I think what is partly to blame for this love affair with the Mariners is that he has realized that he doesn't really like the world all that much. There's not that much that he likes, and he doesn't want to deal with it. And so it's better for him to lay on the couch and watch a crappy-ass baseball team.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, his...
And this allows him to do that.
You know, his other hobby is to stare at things that other grown men signed. So he sits in his, he's got a basement. It's nice. It's an unbelievable, what do you call it? Like man room, man cave. His is phenomenal. And he sits in that room and stares at the things that other men have signed while watching the Mariners. Maybe you're onto something here because those are his own. If you ask me what my brother's hobbies were, that's all I could tell you is the Seattle Mariners and autographs. And they both kind of fit that profile. They don't really require you to do anything.
Let me ask you this. If he had to go to the ballpark to watch them every night, like they were not on TV.
Yeah.
He had to create his life.
Yes.
So that he could access the ballpark every night. Yes. Would he do that?
Yes.
Okay.
His dream is to move to retire to Seattle and get season tickets. And that's he will
now,
be
now. See, that piece of evidence works against my theory.
He that is
because what I was going to say
he
is
says.
He wouldn't do that. What he really likes, a lot of what he likes about the Mariners, not all, but a lot of it is just being able to lay on the couch and tell people to go away.
Now, to be fair, he had an opportunity to move to Seattle this last year for a job, which would put him close to his dream, right? Season tickets, sit at the Mariners, turned it down.
Aha.
Because he talks that's what he wants to do. But I don't know.
Well, we'll get him. Next time we get him on, we'll grill him down about this. We'll psychoanalyze him.
People ask me all the time, was he always like this? And I'm telling you, no. He spent over half his life not being a Mariner fan and certainly not being an obsessive one. This was a gradual thing, and now it's led into whatever the hell this is.
All right, Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch is coming up next. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Chips of Spain.
Ah, what's that like?